Good morning. Wonderful. I love seeing everybody gathered together for such a special Sunday for our worship service, Homecoming. 109 years, how the Lord has blessed us, used the people of the community, and has created a church that is very powerful in God's kingdom. Always exciting to celebrate that, and of course, always exciting to come together for a time of worship. Before we begin our worship service, I do want to make sure we're aware of just a few things. So if you're someone that likes to jot a note down or two or look at the bulletin to have something reiterated, now would be a good time. I would like to ask if you are a guest, we'd first like to say welcome and glad that you are here. And we have guest cards that are located right in front of you. And that's a way for us just to gather a little information. As you place that in the offering plate when it comes around, we'll take care of the rest. And we would love to be able to give some more information to you about how God is at work through our wonderful church. We'd like to welcome our mission team back from Kentucky. Very exciting to hear just a little bit so far about how God was at work. That's always exciting to see how that partnership is going to continue. We'll hear just a little bit more about that in a few seconds. We'd like to thank the whole church for last Sunday. Trunk or Treat, I thought, was a huge success for the church to come together. Wonderful time of fellowship, outreach, the children, the whole nine. Just everything coming together. I thought that was very exciting and is definitely a church-wide effort. You'll notice in your bulletin a couple new announcements, as well as some sign-ups in the atrium. The Children's Fall Fellowship on November 14th. We want to keep things moving with our children as we head into the Christmas season. We're going to have an opportunity for supper and a movie that will really open the door for conversation for families to talk about God's love. So I'm excited about that. Look at your bulletin. Make sure you sign up and get prepared. Be prepared for that. You'll also notice in your bulletin that we have our flowers that we're going to be put together by the church, but was actually donated by Floral Design by Eddie. And when the company heard that it was our homecoming, they thought they would go ahead and donate that for our Sunday together. And we do know, as homecoming is tradition, that we have a lunch afterwards. And if you didn't bring something, that is definitely okay. When you walk out the doors here and go around to the side over here into the fellowship hall, you will see a table, many tables, full of food for a great time of fellowship to cap off our homecoming time together. So make sure you stay and enjoy a wonderful lunch. And before we begin our worship service and have a prayer, I would like to recognize Martha Reagan. She's going to come forward and talk just a little bit about the mission opportunity that took place with the Kentucky mission team. So I ask Martha to come forward at this time.
Thank you. We had 9 kindred spirits that went on this trip, and they were Randy Keck, Davis Harris, Sam Cotton, Maureen and David Acock, Dwayne and Crystal Smith, and Tony and myself. I'll tell you a few things that we did first. The men fixed a hole in the in a house roof, and that was great because before we left, it rained and snowed. They fixed a door frame, and they delivered a load of wood. The women, we hung clothes 2 or 3 times. We helped cook. The pastor's wife fixes a fabulous meal. It isn't just a throw together. It was ribs and brisket and all dessert, the whole 9 yards. We were waitresses. That was my first time being a waitress, and I think I can do it. I really liked it. The part that I loved the best was praying with the people that we served. It was so heartwarming. We also tutored and played with children. We saw in their eyes that they wanted our attention. And before I go on, I do want to mention that there were some special children there, that one was waiting for a kidney transplant and 2 were having brain surgery soon. So keep those children in your prayers. We didn't have any problem, except we had a hard time keeping enough food for Dwayne. That was one of our problems. Nothing else was a problem. We left with a good feeling. At night, we would sit around and talk together and talk about our God moments, and we had many, many God moments. We left appreciating what we have. If I needed a load of wood, I could just, get that real easily. If I needed a tube of toothpaste and a toothbrush, that wouldn't be a problem for me. When we get out of the community and see their needs, it does something to your, eyes and your heart. I think when I go to Sanford, I will see needs there that I probably wouldn't have seen before. I just rode by it and, you know, see it every day, and now I think I will see it. The pastor and his wife, like all pastors, were totally dedicated, and their three children, to serving God. That pastor and his wife took on so many problems that they really looked tired. And as I come back home, as I said, now I really want to serve the Lord more. I think about it a lot, but I'm so busy. But I need to put aside some of the busy things that I think are so important and serve the Lord helping others. And I don't think I thought about the world problems but maybe a couple times when I was there, and that was a joy. So thank you for letting us go, and I hope that you can do that sometime too. And youth, I understand what you were telling us about now. I know about the Lord's Kitchen and all those places, and I admire you all for going. Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing that, Martha. And you got put on the spot there, Dwayne. Didn't see that coming. Yeah. But now as we enter a time of worship, let's bow our heads and have a prayer. God, thank you so much for the way you reveal yourself to us. It is so evident. It is so evident when we stop and look and listen to see how you are at work and how your kingdom is here on earth. There are glimpses, God, of your glory in so many ways and shapes and forms, and we want to participate in that. We want to revel in your glory and to honor that time that we get to spend in worship so we can be better prepared for the week that is ahead. God, so many trials, so many troubles, so much busyness can happen, Lord, and as Martha mentioned, we need to put that aside to make sure our priority is always you and your Son, Jesus Christ, so we can make sure that our life is a reflection of who he is living through us. And God, as we spend a time of worship right now, we want to sing praises to your name. We want to have your word guide us and fulfill our hearts so we can do your work. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let's spend several moments preparing our hearts for worship.
opening hymn is number 390. We are called to be God's people. All three verses.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Be with those who couldn't be here and be with those who are sick or in need. Please accept this humble offering and use it in accordance with your will. In your name we pray. Amen. such a great group this morning. Love seeing y'all. And when I see you have your hymnals open, you're following along as we're singing a hymn, that was great to see. I love that. And I do want to let you know, the older children, you have your older worship bags. You'll notice something a little new in there. You'll notice a new piece of paper on your clipboard in there. And a reminder, when you have your worship bags, you can bring those down here with our time together. Those are yours while we're in worship together. And that new piece of paper, for those of you who stay with us in worship, is to help you even see more what we're doing in worship and follow along with what's going on. So we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But you remember last Sunday night especially, because last Sunday morning we were with the youth together still at our camp. Last Sunday night we were all together for Trunk or Treat, which was just great to see. And so many of you were dressed up. Do you remember what you were dressed up as? Help me remember. Tell me what you were dressed up as. Ninja Turtle. What else? Anna? Elsa. I saw a few Elsas. I did. Absolutely. What else? Elsa, yeah. Yeah. A ladybug. I love that. What else? Basketball player. Absolutely. Baseball player? A cat? What else? Yeah. What was it? Elsa? Elsa, yeah. And Cleopatra? This was great. And what else? A gangster. I like that. I like that. So we had a wide variety of costumes where we came and got to enjoy time together and wonderful trunks that were decorated. Now think about this. What if you actually were the person that you dressed up as? That'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? If for a day you could actually be the person that you dressed up as, there'd be a lot of you that would be pretty powerful if you think about it. I remember seeing a policeman. That's pretty powerful. You'd be able to make sure people obey the law, right? I saw a wizard. I know that person would be pretty powerful. And I heard somebody mention some pretty powerful turtles, too. I think there'd be a lot of power there with those turtles. So there could be a lot of power if you were actually the person you dressed up as. Well, this morning we're going to talk about power a little bit, but we're going to talk about God's power, not our power. And you see, when Jesus was on earth, there were a group of people called the Pharisees. They were teachers, and they liked to show people they had power and that they taught people and were very important. They liked to have people know that and see them. And Jesus tells us something about these Pharisees. You see, when Jesus was on earth, he didn't show his power the way we might think he would have, by making people do things. He wanted to show his power by teaching us and loving us and serving us so we could do the same thing. So listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 23. There's a few verses here, and he's going to talk about the Pharisees, and we'll talk about God's power again, okay? It says, "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples," that means he's talking to us too, "the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but listen to this, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." Have any of you ever heard that before? You got to make sure you practice what you preach. You've heard that? Well, Jesus is saying that the Pharisees didn't do what they taught people to do, what they're supposed to do. They didn't practice what they preach. And you would think Jesus would say, well, that means you don't have to listen to them at all. Since they're not doing what they're telling people to do, don't listen to them. Well, actually, Jesus says, listen to what they're doing, just don't do what they're doing. And so Jesus is teaching us to make sure we rely on his power, his authority, and his teaching. And when we follow what Jesus teaches, and we follow what Jesus does, people will be able to see God's power through us, because we will be practicing what we're preaching. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the way we can follow him and practice what we preach and what we say. Lord, we love you. Amen. All right. I'll see you next week.
As our children are returning to their seats, look in your bulletin. You'll see the congregational response. Lord, we are coming home. And I've asked Kevin and Tracy if they would come, and they've got a reading. And after each one will do a short reading, they'll pause, and we will respond, Lord, we're coming home. I'd like to ask the church to stand for this reading.
Serving in the Deep River community.
Lord, we are coming home.
We are
worship the risen Lord, and we are aware our journey is not complete. As we gather with our family and friends, we are excited about the work you still have for us to do as a congregation.
Lord, we are coming home.
We know there are others in our community and within our families who need to join us on our journey we have been traveling as your faith family here at Flat Springs. Help us to share the good news that you still can take the spiritual homeless and give them a brand new home and one day say,
Lord, we're coming home.
We know there is a great cloud of witnesses who have served you here in this place before us. We acknowledge their faith and thank you for their service that we have continued to build upon. Because of those before us who have shared the gospel with us, we can proclaim,
Lord, we're coming home.
As we gather to share food and fellowship with these we love, we are blessed to be able to call each other brother and sisters to travel with us on this early earthly journey. We have been saved by our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we know we are simply passing through this world on the way He prepared for us.
Lord, we're coming home.
On this homecoming Sunday, we know that one day we will leave this place we have called home behind us as we travel to the place our Lord has prepared for us. We are excited that one day Christ will call us to come and be with Him. On that day, by faith, we proclaim,
Lord, we're coming home.
Remain standing for our next hymn.
Okay, if you kept your bulletin in, it's the same right across the page from where we were. 391. We'll sing again all three verses.
Be seated. As we gather on this homecoming Sunday, let me also invite you to stay and share food with us at the conclusion of our morning worship service today. Thank you for all those who have prepared it. I always call this the annual cook-off. We'll see who did what, and we'll have a great time of fellowship. Let me invite you to open your bulletin and you'll see the prayer concerns there, and I'm grateful to have my back door neighbors worshiping with us today. Neil, we've been praying for you. We're so grateful you got a cancer-free report, and we are excited about that and celebrate with you. You'll see there are, we changed our format a little bit to really just to make it fit in the bulletin, so you might want to look at it a little differently. Those top names are those we've added. And a couple that I have need to mention since the bulletin was printed. One, I found out that Eleanor Kelly has gone to the hospital today. We're not sure if she is going to be admitted, but we want to keep Eleanor in our prayers. Bill Cotton, we hope, will be being discharged from the hospital. He had, after the surgery he had done, there was a complication and some tremendous swelling, and they had to very quickly go in and relieve that with surgery, and so he is recuperating from that, still at the hospital. And then also Jerry Nance was at the hospital yesterday. He is home, still recuperating, still needing our prayers. We want to continue to remember him. Jake Rigsby, Matt's father, had a complication from a test and spent a couple of days in the hospital. We're grateful that he is out. And then we're going to add the name of Miss Eppie Rose. And she is 101 years old, and she is currently in the hospital. This is Debbie McFarland's great aunt and Bob's sister-in-law, aunt, I guess, one removed there. And they've called in hospice, but we just want to celebrate that life and ask for God's grace and mercy to be with her at this time. You'll see the list is long. The opportunities for prayer are ever before us. Would you join me as we pray? God, we're grateful for the privilege of worship to come into your presence as church family. We're grateful for guests who are here today. We are grateful for those that have come back to this place they call home. We are grateful that this is a special place where we worship you in spirit and in truth, where we reach out to those in need, where we care for those who are sick and those who are dying. And we ask, O God, that you might extend your mercy and use us as instruments of your grace and mercy as we remember those on this list. Now, Lord, continue to direct our worship that it might be pleasing in your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This world is not my home, I'm just a man.
People said, thank you, choir. I can't feel at home in this place anymore. Well, you can tell by me being here, we couldn't get anybody for homecoming. We'll do better next year. But we're delighted that you're here. We are excited about this time when we stop and give thanks for almost a century and a decade that Flat Springs has been here in this place, in this community, serving our Lord. We invite you to open your Bibles to Ruth, the book of Ruth, a unique little book, a powerful book. Ruth, a powerful lady. You might think that I've interrupted our study of David, but don't give up on me yet. Don't give up on this sermon yet. We might still get there. This is a story that many think may have taken place when Gideon was the judge of Israel. There was no king. Israel was in kind of a dark period of her history. She, like every nation, had ebbs and flows, and this was one of those low times. You remember that God said, "You'll call me your God, and I'll be your people, and when you're faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. And when you're unfaithful to me, I'll cause famine and distress to come upon you." If we were to read the first part, we understand that that famine had taken place because of Israel's disobedience in verse 1. And Elimelech and his wife Naomi take their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they leave. Not only do they leave, but they go to sworn enemies. They go to territory where no good Israelite would ever abide. They go to Moab. And there, it is as though they continue their disobedience. They do it their way. You ever do it your way? They set up housekeeping, and the two sons marry women from Moab, Orpha and Ruth. And then calamity falls. Elimelech dies, and then Mahlon dies, and then Chilion dies. And then word comes that there has been revival in Israel, back in Bethlehem, and the famine, God's judgment, has lifted. And Naomi decides that the best thing for her to do is to return. She tells them later to not call her Naomi, which is God's pleasure, but to call her Mara, God's bitterness. And our text today, and the lesson that Ruth will teach us this homecoming Sunday, is in that famous discourse that she gives when Naomi encourages her daughter-in-laws to stay home as she's going to return to an unsure future, an uncertain future. And Orpha takes her advice after first offering to go and then deciding not to go. And then we have the words of Ruth, the words of our text. A homegoing for the first time. A change in a world, a change in life, a change in everything. It's found in Ruth chapter 1. We're going to read verses 15 through 18. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? And Naomi begins to speak, and she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you speak to us on this homecoming Sunday about our walk with you, about our link and our loyalty and our love for you, about how we can continue to be all that you've created us to be, that should you tarry for another century, and we don't see how you could, but if you do, that there'll be a faithful witness at Flat Springs Baptist proclaiming to all that you are the Lord of life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm just curious, if you were born in this community, let's just start with the Deep River community, and you're here today, would you raise your hand? Oh, stand up. Go ahead. You pop right up, Dan. Stand up if you're able. All right, if you were born in Sanford, everybody keep standing. If you were born in Sanford, would you stand up? How about Lee County? Anybody else outside? Did they get anybody else up? Oh, there's some more coming up. All right, how about in North Carolina? If you were born in North Carolina, stand up. We're going to pray for all those folks who are sitting right now. Y'all go ahead and sit back down. Reminds me of the story of the preacher that was way back in a holler, and everybody was in that little community, and he was preaching, and he was trying to make a point, and he said, "And I want you to know, everybody in the sound of my voice and everybody that lives around here is going to die one day." And one fella kind of laughed. He thought, well, that guy didn't understand what I said. So he said, "I'm telling you, everybody from around here, it doesn't matter whether they're in church or not, everybody from around here one day is going to die." And that fella just laughed again. It irritated the preacher. And he said, "Fella, what's wrong with you?" He said, "I ain't from around here." Well, we're all from around here. And God has brought us here. Wonder why God brought us here today. Oh, maybe it's because this is our assignment. This is where God has told us that we're to serve, and you're part of this church family, and we're delighted you're here, and thank you for your faithfulness. Or maybe you're a guest, and you came for whatever reason. We're so honored you're here. Maybe you've come back home for this Sunday, and you bless us by your attendance. The American novelist Thomas Wolfe proclaimed, "You can't go home again. But in contrast to Wolf's observation, I like what Rod Sterling wrote, the playwright. He said, "Everyone has to have a hometown. In the strangely brittle, terrible, sensitive makeup of a human being, there's a real need for a place to hang your hat, a kind of geographical wound to crawl back into, or maybe just a place where you grew up." In 1986, 5-year-old Saru Manshi Khan and his 14-year-old brother were searching the streets for spare change in their home city of Burhanpur, India. Saru's older brother wandered beyond the station, and Saru fell asleep on a boxcar, he believes. Sound asleep as only a 5-year-old can sleep. And a few hours later, he woke up 1,500 kilometers away in Calcutta. He wandered the streets and survived until finally he was picked up by an orphanage. He was adopted by an Australian family, and he grew up in Hobart, Tasmania. 26 years later, he found his way back home with Google Earth and a 5-year-old's memory. An article went on to explain that in 2011, using those vague memories and Google Earth imagery, he was able to finally identify his hometown. Then in 2012, he left Australia. He went back to India. Once he arrived, he shared his story. And a few locals finally remembered his family and knew enough, he could tell enough that they identified him. And they helped him find his way back. His father had died, but his mother was there, and one brother and one sister of a family of nine. 26 years after accidentally leaving home, he finally came back. Coming back home. Coming back home. Today's homecoming, and we rejoice that God has blessed us for 109 years. And it's different. It's different for different reasons. Last year during this homecoming, my mama sat right over there. Today, my mom's in our cemetery. Homecoming. What does it mean to us? For some, it's a place of remembering warm stories. And for others, maybe a place we left. Ruth. A woman of Moab finds herself in a tragedy of death, a tragedy of disobedience. A story she didn't write, but now she's living in decisions, decisions having to be made, big decisions, life-changing decisions needing to be made. She finds herself wondering, will I maintain as I always have? Or will today be a homegoing for me to a place I've never seen? A place where I won't be received all that well, but a place where Naomi is. My prayer is that God may continue to teach us that we might have a relationship with others and with Him, like Ruth has with Naomi. What can we learn from this? Well, first there was a link. She was connected to go. Ruth's link to Naomi, it was strong, especially in tough times. Tough time strength, tough time linkage. That's when it's, well, shall we just say real. When we are genuinely the same family, we talk about being brothers and sisters in Christ. When we're really brothers and sisters in Christ, we hold on to one another. We hold one another accountable. We love one another no matter what. That link, real brothers and real sisters, in this case, real daughter-in-law and real mother-in-law. In fact, it feels more like daughter and mother, doesn't it? It can sustain us. You see, we might not really understand the cultural significance at this moment, but if you were to go look in Deuteronomy 23, 3 and 4, it says these words, "And an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord." They weren't allowed to go into the worship area. "Even to the tenth generation, none of their descendants shall be able to enter the assembly of the Lord, because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt." You see, the Moabites, those from Moab, and the Israelites, those from Israel, were enemies. And yet, that link that Ruth had with Naomi was stronger than even the cultural pull. As important as our link is with each other, it's even more important how we're connected to God. Because if there's one thing 109 years should tell us, we've made some mistakes. We'll make some more as a church. But there is in the core of this place a place that loves the Lord. A place that desires more than anything else to serve the Lord. Naomi was returning not only to her family, but also to God. Maybe today, maybe there's someone here that even now the Holy Spirit is saying, "You've wandered away. Your faith, it needs to be renewed. We need to revisit it. It's been a while. You've sat through worship kind of numb. You've kind of let it roll off your back, and spiritually speaking, you haven't paid it quite enough attention. Today, our link, our connection, it needs to be stronger. It needs to be more important." Naomi's returning not only to her family, and I won't even touch too much on Boaz and a kindred redeemer, but she's returning to God. Did you read our text? She told them that they needed to stay with the little God, but then she was told, Ruth told her, "I will make your God," capital G in verse 16, "my God." I wonder today in this moment, in this homecoming service, if there might be someone here, someone who really needs to say to God, "I want you to be my God. I want you to be my God. I want you to forgive my sin and allow me to come into that right relationship with you where there's real peace. Oh, not that earthly peace that can be shattered. It's so fragile. I need that eternal peace that comes from right relationship with you." Not only was her link strong, but her love. I love where she says, "Where you lodge, I'll lodge." Another version I read said, "Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you stay, I'll stay." You see, Ruth was motivated to invest her life and her future in Naomi and in the world of Israel. We all want someone to love us like Ruth loved Naomi, don't we? Oh, isn't that what we all desire, is that kind of love that can't be shaken, that can't be broken, that can't be tampered with? Maybe we need to ask ourselves this question: who do we love? Who do we love like Ruth loved Naomi? Oh, that love, that willing to stay, May our love for God continue to move us toward that completion, which is found most often in obedience. During a dark time in the nation's history, some of us are old enough to remember it. I guess many of us. The Vietnam War. You may remember the signs, especially of some of the POWs when they returned, and sometimes just the servicemen, and sometimes they would come home to folks protesting and calling them names. How confused they must have been, because they simply served their country. Robert Jones, who had been drafted into the Marine Corps, described seeing another soldier kissing the ground after coming home to America. "This will always stick in my head," he said. "All I could say was, thank you, Lord, for bringing me back home." Those soldiers had been separated from home. Many had been captured. Many had been imprisoned. Some had been tortured. But through it all, they endured. And through it all, they had one dream, one hope that kept them going. The hope that one day, suffering through the end, one day they'd come home. Homecoming. Naomi said, "Where you abide, I'll abide. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Till death do us part." Oh my goodness. I wonder if today we might need to kiss the ground and be thankful for God's power and God's presence in our life. I wonder if today we need to come back and realize that we're not fitted for down here. You and I, we live in bodies made of clay. We're amazed to hear Miss Rose living even now to the age of 101. But we're finite, but this isn't our home, is it? This isn't it. There's more. This morning, my last thought is that of loyalty, a commitment to serve. Depending on your age, you may remember either Batman the comic book, Batman and Robin the TV show, or the 97 or the 2012 film. But you remember there was an amazing person in Batman's life. Alfred. Y'all thought I was going to say Robin, didn't you? Alfred. You remember Alfred? While Batman is fighting dastardly enemies, he knows that back at Wayne Manor resides someone who's taking care of everything. Someone he can trust with his secrets. Someone who cares for him like a father and quietly serves him. Resourceful and calm, Alfred may not have one of those exciting adventures, but he's a vital part of Batman's world. What a great image sometimes fiction and cinema give us. God loves us. And God is loyal to us. He has promised that if we are faithful to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of our sins. And remove them as far as the east is from the west. I wonder if there's anyone here who'd like to leave the worship center with the stress and strain of sin removed from our heart. God's loyal to do that. He's faithful to do that. I wonder today if there's someone here who would love to know that God, who has cared for us in all those quiet, unassuming ways, has that promise that one day
there's a place not prepared by hands. For that homecoming that the Schoolcraft read about, that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and yet it is the promise of faith, it's our promise, your promise, and mine. Your God will be my God, Ruth said to Naomi. Naomi had really communicated to them that by leaving Moab, she was returning from her disobedience. Maybe we could say she was returning to her loyalties. She was returning to her God. She was returning to Bethlehem. A loyal spirit always finds a way to come back home. A loyal spirit finds a way to come back home. And God blesses loyalty, doesn't he? He blesses loyalty in so many ways. Well, there's a little more to the Ruth story. It's a great story. It's one of those little bitty short books. Doesn't take you long to read it. It's kind of neat. And in fact, they said that Ben Franklin one time took that story and he met with a group of literaries. They nicknamed themselves the Infidels. That sounds like a group you might not ought to be a part of. But he changed the names and made the, he just took the story of Ruth and he changed it and he read it. And the folks said, that's the greatest story we've ever heard. How'd you come up with such a fantastic short story? And of course, Franklin said it's in the Bible. But the story doesn't end here. In fact, Matthew 1:5 and Luke 3:32 continue the story. Because you remember what Deuteronomy 23 said? That for 10 generations, there'd be no entering of a Moabite into the sacred place, the worship of Israel. That's an appeal for Ruth, wasn't it? To go to a place that knowing her son or her grandson or her great-grandson and on it goes for 10 generations would never be seen as completely the way they should be. But Matthew 1:5 and Luke 3:32 record her name. You know where that is? You know the rest of the story, Paul Harvey might say. You know where they're... where her name appears? Well, it's really not her name. It's Boaz's name. It's in the lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, remember David? Boaz was his great-great-great-grandfather. Pretty amazing. Somebody must not have counted those generations, right, had they? But God, I believe, must have liked the spiritual DNA that he saw in a Moabite woman named Ruth. One who, when she connected, she didn't give up on her connection. When she was linked, she was linked. One who understood loyalty. I want somebody to love me like Ruth loved Naomi. I thank God at Flat Springs many do. Many do. And she didn't give up on her love. Her love for God. Naomi's loyalty to God and Ruth's loyalty to Naomi resulted in the ultimate birth of a Savior, the Savior, the one, the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Ruth had a plan with Naomi to be faithful to her. God had a plan for Ruth. Our loyalty, our love, our link will result in the birth of the Savior in the lives of others. And for 109 years, Flat Springs has been a source of light a spring of fresh water, a place of hope. And until God comes to call His church home, may she always be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we conclude this worship service, it's a time of choice and decision, a time of making those choices about our link to You, our link to others, our loyalty to You, our loyalty one to another and to others, a time to examine our love. And Lord, help us to love like Ruth loved Naomi, that You might bring forth from us the good news of the gospel, that salvation is here through Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn and hymn of decision is page 309. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him on this homecoming Sunday, whether public or private, we would encourage you to do so as we stand together. Would you be seated for just a moment? Just a moment, I'm going to invite somebody to come stand with you, but I want to tell you a little bit of something. We are blessed with our children. And when our children come, there's always a question. Are they old enough? Are they ready? Because sometimes it's exciting, and it should be exciting. It should be something that makes us ask questions and thought, but then when we get beyond that, we need to understand this is the most important decision that we ever make in our life. It's vitally important to choose to be a believer, to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I tell everyone, whether they're whoever they are, there'll be more experiences with God. And some maybe even more dynamic, if you will, but none more important than decision to follow Christ as Lord and Savior. In the last couple of weeks, Casey, come stand with me, sir. Casey's been asking questions with his parents. And then he talked with Matt. And this morning he talked with me. And I ask him the questions of the faith, and Matt asked him the questions of the faith. And with no prompting, but from his heart, he shared that he knew he was a sinner. That he knew Christ died for his sin. He knew Christ was resurrected. And he wanted to make Christ, as I call Lord, the boss of his life. And he comes today presenting himself upon his profession of faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior, and would like to unite with our church upon his baptism. And so, with that, I proudly present to you Casey Schoolcraft, and I ask, is there a motion that we receive him into our fellowship upon his baptism? I hear motions and seconds. If you would join me in welcoming him to our church family on this homecoming Sunday, would you indicate that by saying, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Casey, we're going to try to be the church, buddy, that you need us to be, because God's got great plans for you, and we're excited about that. And we're going to try to help you to grow to be the young man that God will use in powerful ways. And I want to tell you, every time he said anything to me, it was always, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I wish I was that well polited when I was your age. I'm very proud of you. And I believe God's got great things in store for all of us, and especially for this young man. I'm going to ask him to stand. Boy, that's going to put you at the last of the line, Casey. Thought about that. Maybe I'll get him a plate first, but we do have more food than you can imagine over next door, and we would love to have a chance to sit and fellowship with one another. So maybe today you didn't know, or maybe you just weren't in a position where you could fix food and stay and eat. I know we have made a ton to make sure there's plenty, and I've looked at the table. There's plenty. I don't even think we'll have to pray for a miracle to make it go further today. It's been a good day. And Casey, you've made it a great day. And to everyone who's here, thank you for being a part of this special Sunday. Would you stand with me? Casey, I'm going to ask you to stand at the door. Mom, Dad, want me to go get Delia, and that'll be fine, but the other can stand with us. And everybody's going to come by, and they're going to hug your neck, and they're going to tell you that they're going to be praying for you. And you know what? They really are. That's going to be a good thing. Now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, in God's abiding presence, that we might be his home people in the midst of all his people, especially those who need to come home. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for this decision that has caused all the angels in heaven to rejoice and Flat Springs Baptist Church to rejoice this day. And Lord, as we move forward now from this place, and many of us over into our fellowship hall to enjoy food and fellowship, Lord, bless that food and strengthen us by it, that we might grow not only from the nutritious food, but also from the nutritious fellowship that we share as church family, as brothers and sisters. Go with us from this place. We lift up all those who could not be here for whatever reason. And Lord, we pray you continue to bless Flat Springs Baptist Church as we continue to bless your holy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Meet me in the choir room.